Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
As we got older, we had to learn as a family that there's something really cool about just being totally gut level and honest. And it's where God meets us. And it's where God meets us in the midst of our mess and uses us. Really, the coolest thing about the church is that the church is a group of imperfect people. You know, I've been hurt by the church. The church fails a lot. But the miracle is that God uses this body of imperfect people to bring this perfect hope and this perfect love to a world that just desperately needs a Savior.
Ryan and Josh Shook, a couple of names you may not recognize right off the top, but if you heard the names of their parents, Carrie Shook, the pastor at the Woodlands Church in Texas, and also his wife, Chris, you know that these people come from ministry pedigree. The Church of the Woodlands is a massive church in the Woodlands, Texas, about 17,000 members. And Ryan and Josh grew up in a home where they just kind of expected that you were going to be a Christian. They thought they were Christians until they got out of high school and realized that they had a secondhand faith, and it was really their parents' faith and not their own. Today on a special edition of the Homeward broadcast, you'll hear my conversation with the Shook brothers talking about having a firsthand faith. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Let's get into part one of today's program. We are joined by a couple of new authors who have kind of a rich pedigree in ministry. You're going to hear the name Shook a lot here on the program today. You may be familiar with Pastor Carrie Shook, who's the pastor of the Woodlands Church in the Woodlands, Texas, and his wife, Chris. They've written a number of popular books. As a matter of fact, we've had Pastor Carrie Shook on our program here before. But today, we're going to talk with a couple of the Shook's kids, and this is always kind of nervous for people in ministry. I want to say hi to Josh Shook.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Thank you for having us.
Good. And Ryan Shook is also with us, too. And you guys are in different locations right now. Ryan, where are you?
I'm in Los Angeles right now.
Okay.
Josh is in Nashville.
Right. And is that because you guys, the tour, it's too much to be in the same state at the same time? Or what's your living arrangement right now?
Well, Josh lives in Nashville, and he's a musician. And he just came out with a new CD called Trailing. It's really good, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And then I live in Los Angeles, pursuing film. I've just been working at different film companies, and yeah, so it's great. We get to pursue our passions and still see each other every once in a while.
Now, you guys grew up in the public eye, of course, because your parents are very, very well known. The Woodlands has a very, very large congregation. How many people attend the Woodlands Church on a regular weekend?
Yeah, I think it's somewhere around 18,000, I think, on a given weekend. There's a few different sites. There's the main campus and a few other locations around Houston, so it's really growing, and it's cool to see how many people are really involved in the church.
So, and of course, the part of the people who were involved in the church were you. And now, are there four kids? Is that did I get that correct from your bio information? There's you, and you have a couple other brothers.
We have me and Ryan, and then there's our little brother Stephen, who is about to go to college. He's actually going to Belmont in Nashville, which is mm-hmm. where I went to school.
Right.
And then our little sister, Megan, who is 21, and she goes to Baylor in Waco, Texas.
I love the fact you guys are like in your early 20s and you call her your little sister even though she's 21. I think that's precious. Good for you guys for being good big brothers. That's very, very cool. Now, the conversation takes on a bit more serious tone, though, when the sons of famous ministry types, people who are on television on a regular basis, your mom and dad have both written books that have been on the New York Times bestseller list. And so whenever you see a project come out that's written by the children of famous people in ministry, we in the ministry side here all kind of collectively hold our breath and wonder, okay, is this going to be some kind of lightning rod, or is it going to be a breath of fresh air? And I found that your new book, which is called Firsthand, was the rare combination of both, where you had the opportunity here to talk about, as you put it in the subtitle, ditching secondhand religion for a faith of your own. It's a difficult topic to talk about, but it made even more difficult, Ryan, I'll start with you, by the fact that your parents are so very, very well known in ministry, and you guys are very candid about the fact that your ministry journey and your faith journey has been anything but ideal. Talk about that.
Well, Josh and I grew up in, you know, a great home. Our parents really lived out what they preached, but the truth was, in high school, Josh and I both started to feel empty, and we felt like our faith wasn't really working for us. We felt we were doing all the right things, but we still didn't really feel like we had a real relationship with Christ. It was more just borrowed. Mm-hmm. And looking back, we realized that it was borrowed. It wasn't a first-hand relationship. It was just second-hand knowledge. Mm. We were kind of piggybacking our faith on the faith of our parents and our friends and our youth pastor. Mm-hmm. And so first-hand, ditching second-hand religion for a faith of your own is all about moving from that second-hand knowledge of God to a real first-hand relationship, because it doesn't really matter whether your dad's a pastor or you've never even been to church. Everyone needs to have a first-hand relationship with Christ.
Ryan, I want to come back to you here on this one right now, because I'm thinking there are a lot of people who listen to our program, and they come from different strains of Christianity, you know, whether it be Catholic or Methodist or Presbyterian. In a lot of different Protestant churches, there's kind of a confirmation type of process that kids can go through, like in middle school or whatever. Was that your experience with your siblings through the Woodlands? I mean, did they have this kind of rite of passage where the church elders got together and said, okay, now you are 10 or 13 or whatever it is, and your faith is your own? Or was that not your experience?
Well, our experience was we became Christians when we were pretty young, and Josh and I both believe that when you make that commitment of faith, that Christ never leaves you. When you accept Christ into your heart because he died for you, and you accept that free gift of forgiveness, we believe that he's with you, you know, the rest of your life. But the truth is, like any relationship, your relationship with Christ can strengthen or weaken depending on the time you spend with him and, mm-hmm. and how committed you are to the relationship. And so Josh and I aren't so much focused on one event that happened in our lives that we say, yes, we're a Christian. It's more about a process mm-hmm. and really building that relationship.
Well, and the reason I bring this up, and I appreciate your response, is that I think in some traditions you find that there's that one point where it's pretty well understood, like in the Jewish tradition, for example, you have a bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, that there's a point where the adults say to the young child, okay, now you're moving forward as kind of an adult. And I wonder in the evangelical church if maybe we lose some of that because there isn't that signpost that says when you get to this point, we're going to start moving you from the faith of your parents into you actually accepting and owning your own faith. And it sounds like relationally you had a relationship with the Lord, but at the same time you didn't quite make that transition. And Josh, I want to turn to you on this one. Your parents are well known in ministry, and now you and your brother kind of have this aha moment and say, wait a minute, we did the Christian checklist thing, but we didn't exactly, you know, here we are, we're in college. Describe what your situation is like when you first had this realization that you guys were living kind of a second-hand existence and you really didn't have that first-hand faith that you write about in your new book.
Well, I think for both of us, it was just the sense that the Christian life that we had been raised up believing just wasn't very practical. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that I met so many students in college, and you meet so many people who did grow up in church. And yeah, a lot of them will still say, yeah, I'm a Christian, you know, I believe in God, but living it out and the way I was raised just really isn't a practical way to live. I think that was, you know, the overwhelming majority of students who were struggling with the same thing that Ryan and I were going through. It wasn't so much that, like, you know what, I don't believe in God anymore, or all of a sudden I just decided that this is all, you know, make-believe. It was this slow process of starting with the fact that it didn't seem practical. Mm-hmm. And I think Ryan and I, you know, we had kind of confused our relationship with Christ with our role in the church. I was like, I'm doing all these things. I'm going to the church camps. I'm going to the services, going to Bible study. But it's just not, it's just leaving me empty. It's not life in all its fullness like I was promised. And, you know, talking to my youth pastor, I'd be like, well, I don't get it. What's going on? And he'd say, well, you know, it's a relationship, not a religion. And I would just be like, what does that mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean? Like that, like, I'd explain that to me. And he'd say, well, it's personal. And I was just kind of like, man, how is me doing the exact same thing everyone else in this church, in this ministry, you know, going to the same Bible study, going to the same services, how is that personal and unique to me? And so I think that for a while we just kind of got either bitter about those kind of things, and we kind of started to, you know, hold them up inside and not talk about them, because we at the same time our parents lived out what they preached, and mm-hmm. and they were awesome, great parents, and I mean they still are, but I think that we kind of viewed it as, man, I guess this just fills them up and it doesn't for us, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, that's very powerful insight, and I know that I can hear a lot of parents and grandparents who are listening to us right now, and they're nodding their heads up and down like crazy saying, boy, I mean, I get that now. We want to model this faith for our children and for our grandchildren, and we've, I think, in many cases, set the church up so it would do a better job of transmuting that faith and that understanding to younger people. But we've got a generation of kids who has a very, very high respect for authenticity in the church. And a lot of times, and I've heard both of you guys mention this, both Ryan and Josh Shook, you've said, you know, I tried this and it didn't work. I mean, it wasn't. You sound very Dave Kinnaman at that point. Talk about Dave's influence on your research with his work with the Barna Group.
His research has been really indicative of our own experience and the idea that, you know, a lot of young people today walk away from church because they, I guess they just don't see the relevance of it or the connection to it. And Josh and I, you know, we've been there and we know that there are a lot of young people that are still kind of just turned away and don't want to look at church and don't want to be associated with it. And if you have a child right now that's in that position, we just want to encourage you that to keep praying for them, to stay faithful and keep trusting God, because we believe that, you know, that God's children, no matter where you're at, no matter how close or far away you are, that God still has a plan for them. Mm. That's one of the reasons we wrote Firsthand, was because we wanted to start that conversation between parents and their kids. How do you really find that firsthand relationship with Christ that will, instead of looking at the church and saying, I don't need that, you look at the church and say, what can I do to impact this this body of believers? What can I do to be a part of it, to really join it and help it along?
Well, that's powerful insight, and brings us to the midpoint of today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast. Roger Marsh here in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. You're listening to a conversation that I had not too long ago with Ryan and Josh Shook. They are the sons, two of the sons, of Carrie Shook, the pastor of the Woodlands Church in the Woodlands, Texas. It's a megachurch. They're on TV all the time. 17,000 people worship at this church. But the Shook brothers got out of high school and realized they were just like a lot of other millennial kids who had gone to church their whole lives, but the minute they hit 18, 19, 20 years of age, they thought, it's not working anymore for us. They wrote a book about this called Firsthand, realizing they had a secondhand religious experience up to that point, and it's a book that we highly recommend. And Homeward can present these programs to you because of your prayers and faithful financial support. If you can give a gift online today to support our ministry, we would love to hear from you. Just go to homeward.com. That's homeward.com. And now let's get back into it. We're going to return with the conclusion of my conversation with Ryan and Josh Shook here on a special edition of Homeward. Joined here on the program by Ryan and Josh Shook. They've written a new book called Firsthand, Ditching Secondhand Religion for a Faith of Your Own. The book is selling like crazy. Young adults are reading this, and parents who are wondering why the rate is so high, why 70% of kids who grow up in the church hit age 18, 19, and they basically leave church, and maybe half of them come back, but many more of them are asking questions. And Josh, before the break, we were talking about the fact that you and Ryan both had to have that conversation at some point. Your dad, Carrie Shook, pastor at Church of the Woodlands in the Woodlands, Texas. People see them on television all the time, your mom and dad, and they actually saw you too and your dad one time on television having a conversation with your dad about what it was like when you sat down with him and said, you know what, Dad, this is great, but it doesn't feel like it's our faith. It feels like it's us living your faith. Tell us what that situation was like.
Well, it was pretty difficult because, I mean, just like so many parents and so many families, we totally got caught up in the habit of just saying, you know, when you get home from school or when your parents get home from work, you kind of just say, oh, how was your day? Oh, good. You know, and then everything kind of stays surface level. And I personally kind of struggle a whole lot with depression and anxiety. And I was so afraid to kind of talk to my dad about that. I thought that, you know, he wouldn't really understand, or, you know, it's just a weird, awkward conversation I didn't want to have with my dad. And so when I talked to him about that, and I talked to him about this emptiness that I felt like, you know, I mean, I don't know why I'm feeling this way, and this emptiness and dissatisfaction with my faith, with just me. I mean, well, what's going on? What's wrong? It really kind of opened up this whole conversation between everyone in our family to encourage us to say, you know, well, I guess the most awesome part was that it showed me how my parents had struggles too, and my parents were just as imperfect as I was, and that God uses imperfect people. I think that my parents wisely, you know, when we were younger,
then, you know, you don't want to open up to your kids about a lot of your struggles and stuff because, you know, when they're younger, it's not the appropriate time or the place. And, you know, you want to protect your kids.
Sure.
But I think as we got older, we had to learn as a family that there's something really cool about just being totally gut level and honest. And it's where God meets us. And it's where God meets us in the midst of our mess and uses us. I think that really the coolest thing about the church is that the church is a group of imperfect people. That,
right.
You know, I've been hurt by the church. The church fails a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But the miracle is that God uses this body of imperfect people to bring this perfect hope and this perfect love to a world that just desperately needs a Savior. I mean, we're all in the same boat. And when I started being open and honest about my doubts, my struggles, my emptiness, my parents were just really, it was a really awkward conversation at first, but my parents were just so encouraging and saying, you know, God's big enough to handle this.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
If he is who he says he is, and we believe that, then, you know, we're not worried. I mean, like, we're just going to love on you all the same.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, we're here for you. And we go through a lot of stuff too. And then that really encouraged my dad to be more open with us, which really spoke volumes. When my dad was willing to lead by example and be like, you know, I need to start being more open and honest with these guys about my struggles and my doubts and the things that I have to go through. You know what I mean? When my day is not good, I'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I need to talk about it with them. I mean, I shouldn't hide it because then that gives God room to work and to move. You know,
yes.
And our weaknesses, his strength is made perfect.
It certainly is. And Josh, you're singing a song that a lot of dads and kids need to hear because there's something so powerful about a father being authentic. Ryan, as Josh was just talking just now about this whole authenticity thing and coming to grips with doubts, Scripture is pretty clear that there's a difference between doubt and unbelief, but I think the church has kind of missed that we seem to think that if you doubt mm-hmm. something, that means you can't possibly believe. And then how do you bring that to God? Is that why you describe, I love this this depiction that you have in your book, saying that you and your brother felt like you kind of traveled halfway across a bridge, and then all of a sudden you're stuck.
Doubt is we think of that as a bad thing, but the truth is that to really find that firsthand faith, to make it across that bridge of doubt, you have to really be willing to struggle with doubt and to ask the tough questions. When I was younger, I used to think that to have any doubts meant I was a horrible person, but the
right.
truth is that God is big enough to handle your doubts. And if you have a child right now who is going through a period of doubt, who is really wrestling with their faith, we want to encourage parents that's usually a really good sign because it's a sign that your child is trying to kind of break away from that secondhand religion and find that firsthand relationship for himself.
Mm-hmm. That is it, the diakrista, in Greek, that literally just means to think through. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're throwing it away. You're just trying to think through the whole process. And it's got to be tough for you guys, both Ryan Shook and Josh Shook, as the sons of internationally known ministry leaders, your parents, Carrie and Chris, to be in a situation where you look at Ephesians 6 and talk about the full armor of God, and there's that transition period, you know, where we kind of use our parents' armor until we get to be a certain age, then we take it off, and God gives a custom fit, and you just kind of stare at it. It sounds like that's the position you're describing, is you're just kind of looking at it saying, well, which one do I wear? Do I wear my parents' faith, or do I wear, you know, my own armor? And you guys are really speaking out now in a powerful voice to young adults, you know, in the 16 to 26 range, and just saying, hey, look, guys, girls, here's the deal. It's okay to have doubts. What kind of response are you getting from young people in that age group as you tour the country, just talking to them on this firsthand tour that you're on right now?
We've been getting a lot of response from both people our age and, surprisingly, from people of all ages.
Yeah.
We've really been reminded how important it is to have a firsthand faith no matter where you're at in your relationship with Christ or no matter where you are at spiritually. And so it's been cool to see how the firsthand challenge, the small group curriculum that was created for this, has really been powerful and really impacting churches. And it's been also cool to see just how many people in our own generation have really said, hey, that's me, and I realize now that what I need is not secondhand religion. I need a firsthand relationship.
Both of you guys are involved in media ministry. Ryan, you blog. You're a filmmaker. Josh, you're a musician. I mean, you know, trying to make it in that industry too. We hear so much about how important media is to reaching young people with the gospel. Josh, what do you think? Is that overstated, or is that are we not doing enough? Should we be doing more in the church to take advantage of media opportunities to reach out to young people?
I think that absolutely. I mean, it's a great tool, and we need to be utilizing it more. I think one thing that we kind of get caught up in so often
is feeling like we need to, and this is just personal. I mean, I don't know. There's people who are a lot, you know, smarter than me on this, but I love seeing more and more how people want to do something outside of the traditional Christian means. You know, the way that, for example, the Christian music industry is fantastic and it's great, and they're really reaching a lot of people, and also just facilitating worship, and that's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. But I love seeing more and more artists get out and using media just to say, this isn't necessarily for Christians, but this is my faith, and this is me being authentic and real. And I think that's what I would love to see more of. We're too scared about. I get scared about, you know, wanting to fit that Christian label a lot of times, either because I want to reflect upon my parents well, or because I'm scared that, you know, I won't reflect upon the Lord well or my faith well. But it's like, you know what? Like, authenticity is just the most important thing, because, you know, when I admit that brokenness, and then when I admit that I'm just like everyone else, I just can't trust this enough. It really does give the Lord room to use us, and it gives him all the credit in the end. Yeah, absolutely. Media is just a huge tool, and I think you're going to see it be used more and more.
Well, it's becoming more socially acceptable to use media as form of relationship building, as we've seen through the use of social media, for example, and YouTube and whatnot. And you guys are right on the cusp of this, but the message of this book, Firsthand, Ditching Secondhand Religion for a Faith of Your Own, I'm convinced that you're going to achieve the goal of finding a faith that's focused on relationship, that's unafraid of doubt, that moves outside the comfort zone, that really forms a movement in a firsthand, authentic community. Josh Shook, Ryan Shook, congratulations on the book, and even better than what the book sales are, I just commend you as young men of God for having the courage to be able to confront your parents and in a loving way and say, you know what, we've got to talk about this, because this story is not necessarily just our story. It's for a whole generation. I think you guys are really speaking for a whole generation of young people right now who really want to believe, but they've got these doubts and they don't quite know how to work through them. So thank you guys for writing this book, Firsthand. And thank you guys for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
And that concludes my conversation with Ryan and Josh Shook here on the Homeward Broadcast, talking about their book, Firsthand, Ditching Secondhand Religion in Favor of True Faith in Jesus Christ. And these guys are living it now, and they're preaching to guys in their 20s and 30s and to young women as well who are having similar experiences, growing up in the church and yet kind of turning away. And Jim, this is one of those cultural phenomenons that we as Christian parents really have to deal with, the fact that there's such a large percentage of kids who grew up in church move away from it. Only some of them come back. But that's why we present these facts and figures every Friday in a resource that parents really need to get a hold of, the Culture Brief.
Well, it's actually a free resource. You know, every Friday it comes out and thousands of people read it. And actually, hundreds of them tell me thank you. It's amazing. We have almost this cult following of people who love our Culture Brief. How it started was a guy named Jim Liebelt, who's on our staff and a wonderful, incredibly talented researcher, started sending me. It was called the President's Culture Brief or the President's Update. It would help me. And then I'd be doing a radio show and I could, you know, come up with whatever the latest, greatest stuff was that actually he was giving me. And then we said, why are we hiding this? So we deal every week with three issues, and only three issues. So it only takes about 3 minutes to read or less, but it's whatever is hot in the culture. And so it might be the latest on drug and alcohol addiction. It might be the latest on sexual promiscuity. It might be the latest on what kids are doing with driving, you know, how they relate to their parents, just loads and loads of good stuff. It's absolutely free. People can sign up and get it. On the other side, it also says where the big searches are, you know, what were kids searching that week. And so as parents, I always say, listen to what they listen to. Read what they read, watch what they watch. Culture Brief is worth it.
Well, we also have to add to that now, search what they search, I suppose.
Exactly.
That's the 21st century edition of that.
I like that.
Okay. Well, search what they search it is. We'll put that on there too. For more information on how to get going on your free subscription to the Homeward Weekly Culture Brief. As a matter of fact, if you're listening on terrestrial radio right now, it's Monday, so you can sign up and start getting it this Friday. What a deal. Go to homeward.com and follow the prompts. Look at the articles and media section. Look at the different resource availabilities we have for you. But that Homeward Culture Brief is going
going to be kind of a one sheet for you, four or five different tips about what's happening in youth culture. We also include a kind of a search strategies, you know, what words are being searched, what articles are being searched, what is trending right now in youth media consumption. And it's a way for you as a parent to try to keep up with the culture that's moving so quickly that your kids are sprinting, trying to get after this. And they're exhausted trying to keep up with the culture too. So we understand at our age, it's tougher to keep up. That's why Homeward's Weekly Culture Brief is such a valuable resource. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.